Good morning.
Morning.
Thoughts just kept rolling over my mind and my heart this morning, where maybe to start off on the introduction of what's in my heart. And I just want to hear the Lord. Because I want you to know that there's nothing wrong with the church. Church is still the same. The mandate is still the same. From the time it came into conception, right up to this day, what it's to do and where it's to go and what it's supposed to be doing has never changed. So along the way, some things have changed, haven't they? I think the only problems we have as a children of God, we got a hearing problem. Now, throughout the Bible, I see where God talked to his people. And they heard him. Did they not? They heard him. Even from the Garden of Eden, when he physically walked in the garden with Adam and Eve, he talked to them. From that moment, when that man was created in the garden, and he breathed into him, and he became a living soul, and he became God's favorite, humanity did. God has been speaking to his people. You've chosen, we've chosen, from time to time, to not hear God. It's quite evident throughout the scripture. Every time the Jews, which were the natural nation of, that was the people that God chose in Abraham, for whatever reason, I don't know the mind of God. I don't know why he picked the Jews out, my friend, except that Jesus was going to come through that line and what have you, I guess. But he spoke to them and he directed them and he helped them along the way, every step of the way. Listening. A hearing problem. What happened? Well, a lot of times they went into captivity. A lot of times they were conquered. A lot of times there was death and things that happened to that nation. When we turn away from God, things happen. God lets things happen. But God has not stopped his mandate to the church of the true and living God. I want to remind us of that. I have not changed, my friend. The church has not changed. What it does, it just needs to be reiterated today in this day and age that we live in, so that the next generation will go out here and do the job before us, whether there's a coronavirus going on, whether there's a pandemic of any sort whatsoever, my friend. It's still the same. The message needs to be the same. If anything, this should wake us up saying, there's a lot of people dying around about us, is there not? What do they need to hear most? Church is a wonderful place to come to and give our hearts over and share with our brothers and sisters our burdens about our loved ones and our family, our sicknesses, our financials, whatever that we're going through. But friends, I think more and more we're forgetting what we do. There's a world out here that needs Jesus. And you know him. You certainly know him. You have a relationship with him if you've been saved by the grace of God, which is the most important thing that will ever happen in one's life. No matter what's going on, God said, I will be with you. I will go with you. Why do we stop listening? He speaks even now. But some of you have chosen in your lifetime, I have, I'm guilty, not to listen to God, haven't you? I think I can do this better. I can fix this my own way. I don't want to do the things that God would have me to do. Guilty, guilty, guilty. That's me. And a lot of us that are sitting here today, maybe every single one of us has been saved in the grace of God, I probably dare say. That seems harsh, right? But God said, I'm here. I'm still listening. Even when you choose not to listen to God, he's listening to you. He's seeing you. He's watching over you. He may not be blessing you. He may not be blessing us as a whole, but my friend, I'm telling you, I still, with all of my heart, believe for the day the Lord saved me that we could see and hear and live through a great revival. like we've never seen before. Nowhere in the Bible do I find where God can't save thousands. Do you see that? Is my God's arm shortened? No, it's not. He's the same God. He's still in control whether the world wants to think so or not, whether the president or the Congress or the Senate want to think that they're in charge. Little do they realize they are just but puppets in the hands of God. They are. They get their egotistical things get going in their mind and their hearts. But God, it wouldn't be the first time God directed a nation. I always say, if God can use Balaam's ass, he can use anybody. Look it up if you don't know the story.
Yeah.
So I want to encourage you this morning to listen to God. Listen to that still small voice, because it still speaks. Man, it's the sweetest singer that I've ever heard in my life. And I haven't physically heard it, but I have heard it. Yeah, from the day that he saved my soul so many years ago, down on my knees. Yeah, I was on my knees, on the bench, up front of the church house, crying out to God. Not out loud, but in my heart, I was talking to the Lord. I knew he was real, and I knew I was lost. I knew I was condemned, and the Spirit of God is the one that revealed that to me. I was just one in millions of people in the world that are in that condition at that time. You may be here today in that condition. Then you really need to listen to the Lord. Don't turn a deaf ear to him. Don't turn away from him this morning. It'll be to the detriment of your soul. Because I believe and still believe I'm not afraid to preach it, my friend. There's a heavenly gate and a hell to shun. There's two places in this world when this life is over. Friend, that's the message the world needs to go. It needs to know. Do you want to go to heaven when this life is over? Or do you want to go to hell? Just don't do anything, and that's where you'll go. Condemned already. Isn't that what Scripture says? Sure does. Those that do not believe are condemned already. That's your family. That's your friends. That's your grandchildren. Might even be your mom in my case. Might even be other families and people you work with. They are going to go to hell. Does that not motivate you, children of God? Don't you hear God? Don't you hear the mandate that he gave to this church? Go you therefore into all the world. Go out and preach and to teach the gospel of the Son of God. I introduce them to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Man, there's no other name whereby men can be saved than that of Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Amen.
He came to the world
yep.
by the direction and the blessing of his Father. Just imagine that setting in that conversation. If that's how it happened, I don't know. I don't know how supreme beings talk to one another, but I know they communicated. Because Jesus agreed. Go and die for every one of you. And still, you plug your ears. Still, you do what you want to do. Guess what? It's never been about us. Never will be about us. It's about God. This is his world. This is his creation. He owns it all. He controls it all. And when it's all done, he'll destroy it all. He brought it into existence, he's going to take it out of existence. Now, there are those that don't believe that. They might be listening to me even today. But you find, you want to argue, come to me. I'll give you my phone number, 317-494-5613. And we'll talk about my friend God and what he has planned for this world. This world, this earth is going to be gone. And a new heaven and a new earth. I'm going to be there. Why? Because I've been born again by the Spirit of God. I listened to the Lord God 43 or 4 years ago, down on my knees, the voice of the Lord came to me for the first time that I realized, maybe not the first time that it came to me, but the first time that I realized it was God. You remember that day? You were lost when that came to be about. You heard the voice of God for the first time and knew it was God. And from that day forward, you can't mistake that voice. You can close your ears off. You got a hearing problem. That's what you got. You got a hearing problem. You got a selfish problem. You got a narcissistic problem. We think of ourselves, what makes us have pleasure. It's not about us. Not about us. When we get us out of the way, friends, is when we're going to have a revival. When we get where we need to be, and that is listening to the Lord, following the things that He's laid out. It's simple. It's plain. It's not been a hard concept for the church of the true living God. God, my friend, before the world was, said we're going to do it this way. We'll send John into the world. We'll have him prepare people for Jesus to come. And my friend, organize into the church of the true living God. And that institution's been here and will be here until the world is on fire, until God comes to get her back and take her to be in her respective spot in glory where she will shine. She's not going out shining the sun. I don't know all what's going to happen when this life is over, but I know I'm going to be with Jesus, and that's all I care about. The Lamb of God which came to me. He had pity and mercy and love on me. I did not deserve it, friends. You know my story. I've said it many, many times, but it's mine. It's what's going to take me to be with God in glory. That time, 100 miles from here, a little town in Illinois, my friend, in a little dead in a church in a little dead end street, my friend, to a house that had been converted into a house of worship. My friend, I do a little old bench that turned around backwards there. I met God. I heard His voice, and I did not turn it away. Oh, glory be to God. I can feel that when I think about that. Because that instance in my life is what's taking me, when this life is over, to heaven. We got all kinds of ideas what heaven's going to be like, don't we? The world does. Heaven to some is a big mansion, lots of land, or nice cars, clothes, whatever it might be. They're nothing. Material things are nothing. Maybe God just stopped the world and the economy for a moment to show you that it's nothing. I don't know. You let it come be to fear, didn't you? God can do anything, stop anything. Why do we stop listening? Have you done that? Is God not there for us anymore? Oh yeah, He's there in a big and mighty way.
I want to start off, I guess I've already started off. Turn me down. Hear my own self. In my ministry, I've liked visuals, I've liked poems, I've liked different things people have written. If it accentuates the Word of God, if it's something I can bring to you as the people of God that would help you to, in this case, get the earwax out of your ears and listen to the Lord. Because some of us have just downright, and I always wonder, I said, I really believe that person got saved, but how can they just be out in the world and not do or feel or seem like anything's happened to them, my friend? That's not my place. I do wonder about it sometimes, but I just know me. And if I didn't have God in my life directing me and helping me through every step of the way, how can you make it? I don't know, and I don't understand how a world out here wouldn't want Jesus. It's awesome. In my happiest days, I wanted Jesus. Was thankful for Him. I remember the night I was preaching in revival in Southside. Been a while ago. It's just a good memory just came to mind, and I'll share it with you. And I followed my heart to the best of my ability and preached to the best of my ability. And we began to have the altar call, and my granddaughter hit the floor. My oldest granddaughter, what a blessing that she is and still is today. She hit the floor. She was on the front bench, and before the night was over, she was under the bench crying out to God. It had been a long time since I had heard anybody just physically, loudly cry out to God to save their soul, and she was going at it. She didn't care who was around. She didn't get embarrassed. She didn't get anything. She was talking to God. And then I don't know how long she'd been mourning and talking to the Lord, and church people were all around up front. And I just kind of sit back, and at least with my people, I know that when they reach that point, they're in God's hands. I can't do anything. I can't tell them anything. I can't show them anything unless God would lead and guide my heart. But I just leave them alone. I don't want to interfere with them. They're talking to God, my friend. We need to think about those things. But it wasn't shortly after she hit the floor that her mother in the very back hit the floor, crying out to God. Not out loud, but she was seeking the Lord. They both got saved that night. It's good. Those are good things. I got to baptize them both. And in December, I'll get to marry, be the officiant at her marriage, and I will have had to be the blessing of marrying them both. God's good, people. God is good. So I want to read this little story to you. It's called "I'm Not Discouraged." A man stopped to watch a ball game between two young teams, and he walked towards the bleachers, and he asked one of the players, "What is the score?" And the young fellow replied, "We're behind 18-0. "Well," said the man, "I must say you don't look discouraged." "Discouraged?" the player said with a puzzled look. "Why should we be discouraged? We haven't had our turn yet." The army of Israel faced a giant, but a young man named David thought, I have not had my turn yet. And he won. 12 disciples saw 5,000 hungry people and said, "Send crowds away so they can buy some food." But Jesus thought, "I have not had my turn yet." The angry mob had Pilate seal the tomb where Jesus was buried, but God knew, "I have not had my turn yet." The church is ready to go to bat. Like others who have placed their trust in God, we will win. Remember these words of Jesus: "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not overcome it." I want to remind you, church, who you are. That's just lately a theme of mine, been running on and on until God changes it. That's the direction I'll probably go. Trust the Lord. Listen to what He says, my friend, and move when God speaks to you. There's not a better time. Tomorrow won't be better. This afternoon won't be better. My friend, next week won't be better. The moment that God speaks to you, move. Right then and there. Because why? We don't have the promise of tomorrow, do we? We don't have the promise of the next minute, because I think everything that's been done needs to be done. When Jesus said, "I am going to return, by the way, to get my bride, and the redeemed of God will be gathered home to be with God in glory forever and ever." And what we know is the world will have ended. It'll be done. I've not had my turn yet. So, Matthew, turn there if you want to, in the 16th chapter, 13th verse, since I referenced it. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" He asked him a question. And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some say Elias, others Jeremiah and one of the prophets. And he said unto them, "But whom say that I am? Whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but the Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou loose shall be loosed in heaven." God recognizes the church of the true and living God, this institution that he began in his own personal ministry. He, my friend, was one of the reasons why he came to the world, not only to be the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world, to die on the cross of Calvary, but it was to institute the church of the true and living God. My friend, you don't have time not to listen to God. There's a battle going on. And the more that Satan can deaden your ears and your heart to that fact, the more that Satan can throw into your life, or I should say, not necessarily Satan, but the more you throw into your life that's outside of the realm of God and God's things, my friend, as it was said earlier this morning, this should be the highlight of your life. This should be the highlight of your week, is the church of the true living God. Get charged up so you can go back out into the workplace, back out into school, back out into life, and what? Tell them about Jesus Christ. That's what they need to hear. They don't need the stock tip of the day. They need to know about what Jesus said. And he didn't make it complicated, did he? And so why should you? He told Nicodemus, "Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again." Period. Nicodemus, just be born again. That's what you've got to do. And so why aren't you telling your friends and your family? Because that's what they need to hear. So I don't want to argue about this. I don't want to argue about that. But I want you to know you need to be saved by the grace of God. When David faced Goliath, can you imagine? I've stood in the Valley of Elim where that took place. One of most of my favorite places when I went to Israel. It's not commercialized. There's just weeds. There's nothing there. There's no statues. There's no plaques. There's no anything other than our guide saying, "This is the Valley of Elim." Israel stood there and Philistines stood there and they came down. And the rest is history. Why should we be discouraged? Pretty much was his attitude, right? Hey, old Philistine! Today is your demise. Today I listen to God. Today I stand up for the Lord. No matter what the outcome is. That was their attitude. Why should that change for us? Been his turn up to bat. Well, it got there. He brought his brother's family, his brother's food. What's going on? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the army of the living God? Was that arrogant of that young man? No, it was truth. Who is he? He's nothing. He's a 10-foot nothing. His spear, the guy carrying his 300-pound spear, nothing. I serve God. And God said, "I am with you wherever you go, whatever you do." Think about Moses when he faced Pharaoh, the ruler of the known world. Why should we be discouraged? We haven't had our turn to bat yet. Oh, by the way, Pharaoh, let my people go. Doesn't matter, you got all the army and all the chariots and all the muster and the might. Let them go! We know how that ended up, don't we? And Abram was... I like this. I like Abram. I'm kind of akin to him. because it's never been my problem when God said, go, go. And I'm not bragging, it's just me. And I don't want it to be any different. If God speaks to me and says, go, I want to go. That's what brings true happiness to a soul, friends. When you hear God and you listen, you follow through. Abram, God spoke to him and said, get everything you got in your family and leave. He didn't say, well, where am I going? How am I going to make it? He had a lot. He had a lot of animals. He had a lot of stuff. Just get your stuff and go. Why should we be discouraged? We haven't had our turn to bat. Listen, here's the poem I want to throw in here at you. I got a story and a poem today for you. It's called I Am. It goes this way. I was regretting the past and feeling the future. Suddenly my Lord was speaking. My name is I Am. He paused. I waited and he continued. When you live in the past with its mistakes and regrets, it is hard. I am not there. My name is not I was. When you live in the future with its possibilities and fears, it's hard. I'm not there. My name is not I will be. When you live in the moment, it's hard. I am here. My name is I am. The now. Do you hear me? Past is gone. Future's not here. May never get here. It's the now. Do you hear him? He's speaking. It's been a long time since you heard the Lord. Not that he wasn't speaking to you. Not that if you've been saved by the grace of God, he has been with you from that day forward. Do you remember? Think back a moment when God truly saved you. Or if you don't have that, then maybe it's time you seek the Lord. Maybe God brought you here today for that very reason. And he's going to speak to you. You know, he's going to say, come. Come to me now. I am. In Philippians, the 4th chapter, the 10th verse, talks about God's provisions. It says, I rejoice in the Lord. And this is the 4th chapter, the 10th verse. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both now and I know both how to be abased, and I know how to be to abound everywhere in all things. And I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. Paul went on to say, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also in the beginning of the gospel when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as conceiving and concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once again unto my necessities, not because I desired a gift, but I desired fruit that I may abound to your account. But I have all... and abounded, I am full, having received of Euphrotius the things which he sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But, this is the point I wanted to get to, he said, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. So Paul taught them that God was a supplier. Probably told you many times over, I'll get you what you need. What's the church here need right now? What do you need? I want participation. What do you need? Yeah, very good. I'm glad you said that, because you do need a pastor. God can supply. So what? Clean out your ears, listen to the Lord, and follow when the time is right. Don't think about the past. You've had wonderful, many good men that have come through here. In the future, we have some time left, because I have so many that need to get saved, so many that I want to talk to. God will supply what you need if you but listen to Him. Don't turn a deaf ear. Don't wait for a better moment, my friend. When God moves, then you move. God's a supplier of what we need. Your time's coming. You just haven't had your time to bat yet. So, let's recount a few things I said. First of all, God speaks to His people, right? If you've been saved, every one of you should have said amen. If you're lost, and you know God's dealing with you, you probably should have said amen too. So God speaks to creation, His creation, doesn't He? God speaks through His creation. It says, the Bible, just a side note, it says that we see everything. You know, that's why cultures have worshipped the creation. Because it's so wonderful and so beautiful and so grand, my friend. I could see that. But it was God, who is bigger than all of that, who made that for us to enjoy. So God sent His Son into the world to die for the world. And those that are lost are condemned. Those that are saved got a better place to go to when life is over. And in the interim of the beginning of the world and the end of the world, He brought an institution called the Church of the True and Living God, the Bride of Jesus Christ, into the world to do the work of God here. The institution that was, my friend, formed by God, for His honor and glory, that the gospel may have sanction in the world. I don't have it. It comes through and by the Church of the True and Living God. I don't have any power within myself, my friend. God, yes, has called me to preach the gospel, but He says and teaches me as I see it, my friend, throughout the scriptures, that He started the church, and through the church He would have us go out. And all of that time, so we got Jesus saying He'd come into the world, and He did come into the world. He died on the cross of Calvary. He went to Golgotha's hill and suffered in pain, and so you could have salvation. The least that we can do is listen to God, because He's still speaking. He's still in the now. I am. I don't want you to think because I'm telling you, Satan was going to throw everything at this church that he possibly can, that God will let him. To what? First of all, one of the easiest things is for the children of God, because your attention span's about that much. You guys maybe never ask me back, but God's people's attention span is about that big. We soon forget. We soon turn a deaf ear to what God would have us to do. What's that? To be a soul winner for Jesus. To be out here in the world proclaiming the gospel of the Son of God, the good news, and introducing people to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world, because there's no other name whereby men can be saved. I said that already, but it's not been said enough in this day and age. You can put your money, you can put your faith in money, in people, in the world, in this or that, my friend. But if your faith at the end of time is not in Jesus Christ, then hell will be your home, along with your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, if time is permitted to go on. I was talking to an individual the other day, which was really, I don't know what it means. I just took the opportunity to talk about Jesus. That's what I do. You know, we're sitting in a business setting. He wanted me to meet him. I had a closing to go to up in Carmel. He said, "You got time after the closing? I'd like to talk to you." I said, sure, I'd like to meet you. Keep my opportunities open, you know, when it comes to business. So we got talking, and he was raised of a different faith, Catholicism. And I don't even know how the subject, we were talking about real estate and my interests and my desires, what I want, you know, what do you want to do, what do you want to accomplish, da 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 da. And all of a sudden, the subject turned to God. Oh, wow, what a coincidence, huh? No, I don't think so. That's your problem. When the opportunity arises, you don't hear God, and the opportunity is there, and the door is open. And don't we say, he says, knock, and it shall be open, and we don't go through, we don't follow through, because we're not hearing. So the conversation turns to God, it turns to faith. And I tell him, well, I'm also a Baptist preacher. And it started, I know how it started, I remember. I said, you know, when I was 18, I wish I would have started the real estate business. I was approached when I was 18 to get my license to begin selling real estate. But I went in the construction field anyway. I had a new wife, and you know, in 1970-something, $17 an hour was a lot of money. And so now I said, I don't want commissions, I want that. I said, well, by the way, that happens to be the same year I got saved and the same year I got called to preach. Well, the whole conversation turns around and we're talking about God and what God can do. He said, you know, I was raised this way. And he said, I began to do a search of my family, and it's so easy to do today. So I got back to the fifth generation of my people. And he said, the internet blew up about, I can't remember the guy's name, but he was a Baptist preacher. Got to the sixth generation, there was more Baptist preachers. Even wrote a book, and I'm going to try to find that book. I'm glad you're here. You might have even heard about it. And that day and that time, he's got the book. One of his the sixth generation grandfather wrote the book, and he says, I can't read it. It's in Welsh. I'm going, and I'm getting God bumps, you know. And he says, this information that God had brought into his life. See, he listened. A lost man listened. And I have to believe that he's probably a saved individual. My friend, his faith has changed. I don't know where he goes or what he does. We didn't get that deep in the conversation. But doors and opportunities open up all the time for us as the children of God, don't they? We have let them slip by every day when we're too busy about thinking about our careers, our jobs, our food, what we're going to do for lunch. Which some of you might be thinking about even now. Because I'm a little long-winded today for some reason. But that's all right. I have a lot to say. Because if nothing else, I want you to remember, I got to listen to God. From this forward, I'm going to try to listen to God more, better. And I'm going to move when he moves on me. Because I think that's our only hope as the Church of the True and Living God. We begin to listen again to the Lord. No, because the mandates, as I said, what God wants us to do is his church and his children has not changed and never will. No matter what's happening in the world. When the flood was here, the mandate was the same. God showed a wonderful picture and a gruesome thing. He built an ark to save the people. He brought all the provisions on board. The part that gets me is then it says, God, shut the door. What does that mean to you? The door is shutting. One day it will be shut again by God, never to be opened again. Never to be opened again. So those people who think they're coming back here to do something or whatever they're going to do for eons of time, they're off base, in my opinion, and I think of the Bible's opinion, because I'm going home to be with Jesus. I'm going home as a part of the bride of Jesus Christ, and she'll have a special place with inside the city. I don't know what all that translates into. I don't understand it all. I just know God said, I'm going to be with him, and I'm going to be special because I'm going to be in the bride of Jesus Christ. My friend, I know how I feel about my bride, even after, this long a time. It's better and better and better. So let us listen to the Lord. Let's have a song, and y'all just follow the Lord and do what he might put on your heart today.